Hey guys, you're probably gonna hate us, but we're conservative Christian moms.
That's right. We said it. According to woke culture, we're the three Karens of your neighborhood, and we're not a bit ashamed of it.
We're here to empower other conservative Christian moms to speak up, say what's true, and defend their children's future. We'll talk about politics, the Bible, parenting, wifery, sex, you know, all the conservative Christian mom things.
I'm Candy Rose, and I'm the often too honest mother of three.
I'm Amy Alexander, and I'm the often too serious mother of twins. Up for discussion.
I'm Nikki, and I'm the often too emotional mother of two.
All right, so I recently learned that in Proverbs 31, we all have this idea of like, she's the woman of virtue. Okay, but what I learned is that there's battle military language in that. And so it's more like woman of valor. So when we were talking about starting this podcast, I think all of us had this idea that we're not just Karens. We are women of valor. We're here to fight. We're here to say what's true. We're here to fight for our children's future in America. And so that's kind of what this podcast is all about. For the first episode, we wanted to dive into Halloween. It's coming up. It's something that we all celebrate. So the question is, like, are basic white girls walking around in leggings carrying pumpkin spice lattes and ushering in the spirit of All Hallows Eve actually doing something wrong? Or is it just totally fine?
Okay. Well, before we dive into all of our different opinions, I just want to say we all love Halloween here.
Yes.
So we're Christian, and yes, we're conservative, but we love Halloween.
Team Halloween.
It's so much fun. So I will start. I grew up in a house where I was not allowed to celebrate Halloween. And being someone who's very theatric, it was very sad for me. I just wanted to get into a costume really bad. And as a mom, I just didn't see any harm in it. I think that it's really great community building. Like, it's such a great way to love on your neighbors. And it's such a, I mean, really, honestly, what could be more fun? Dressing up in a costume and getting candy for free.
Yes.
For free. Yeah, I was not allowed to celebrate Halloween either growing up.
We did not know this.
Yeah, my parents were church planters. And for a while, they were part of Assembly of God, which is, and you were too. I wonder if it's like there's a tie there. You were?
I grew up Assemblies of God.
No way.
Yeah, I was a missionette. My dad was a Royal Rangers leader.
Did you do fine art?
Say again?
Did you do fine arts?
No.
Okay.
Fine arts. No, I didn't do fine arts.
Okay.
But I did, like, you know, Susanna, Ruth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Tabitha. I'm a star.
That is hilarious.
I did not know that.
Okay, so in Assembly of God, my parents were like associate pastors at a massive church. First Assembly of God at Bakersfield in California. Wow. Huge church. And so they were one of many associate pastors. When I was young, they had like stopped church planting. Anyway, you're not allowed to dance. You're not allowed to drink alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that was also, you know, we don't do Halloween, but my parents always made it really fun. It was movie night and we got big bags of candy and I freaking loved Halloween. Like I was not jealous of people who had to go beg for candy because I got a bag of my favorites.
Like, hold up. So I did not know this. Assemblies of God doesn't allow people to celebrate or just you guys?
I think it's just a cultural, gotcha. At least my perception.
Okay. I was never taught in the church that it was wrong. My mother was very against it. Like, it was definitely my mom. But I will say our church often growing up had Hallelujah parties,
yes.
Or fall festival. So it was like, instead of Halloween, come do this instead. And my mom was all about it.
I do remember that. So growing up for me, I never had a sense. It was like more neutral. We grew up very involved in the Assemblies of God church, but we did go to the Hallelujah parties. We dressed up as biblical characters, but nobody ever said to me that Halloween was wrong. So I never had the impression. I just thought we dressed up like, you know, Mary and Joseph.
It was definitely my mom. No one in the church ever said that to me. My mom was very against Halloween. I don't know what made her that way.
Yeah.
But yes, she was the one who really drove that point home.
Yeah.
Well, growing up, I always associated Halloween with specifically witchcraft. Like, obviously, it's associated with lots of like dark things, but I think growing up, I had a perception that it was very well tied into witchcraft, mm-hmm. which I think can be true. Like, I do think it's the night when witches gather and do their thing at 3:33 a.m. or whatever weirdness.
It's a full moon.
Yeah, like
light the black flame candle.
Yes, focus, focus, exactly. We were before we started recording, we were talking about how much we hated Hocus Pocus 2. But anyway,
side note.
And so Candace was like, "You guys are dumb. They're both dumb." But anyway,
it's okay. We still
I
love
didn't
you.
Grow up on Hocus Pocus, so it's not nostalgic for me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's allowed. That's fair.
No. So growing up, we did the Halloween parties, and I think we didn't spend any money on Halloween. But I had a different perception. My mom loved. What are they called? Slasher movies. So I thought Halloween was about human scary. Like,
interesting.
You know, Jason and who are all the scary people? Like, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, and then we were never allowed to buy costumes, but we were allowed to make it. So every Halloween, we'd be running around the house, like picking up stuff and making costumes. Like, I was Lady Godiva one time. I forget that I did not know that Lady Godiva was not something you should be as a Christian woman. But I got a sheet and I made myself have long hair because I always you know, I have this dark curly hair and I wanted this long, beautiful blonde hair. And I just remember putting a white sheet on my head and pretending I was Lady Godiva.
That's so funny. Yeah, I remember, I mean, what my mom taught me, she was very against witches. So I couldn't watch Hocus Pocus. I couldn't watch Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Oh, Broomsticks. Yeah,
I wasn't allowed to watch anything with witches in it. And even like the cute little Disney movies like The Sword in the Stone, we weren't allowed to watch that until we were of a certain age because my mom was just so afraid that we would confuse magic and witches with good. And she wanted us to understand that there are real witches in the world and that's bad, which I mean, I understand her thought behind everything. But I just think, I mean, and of course, this is what our topic is today. As a mother, I just think that we can teach our children that, you know, life, Halloween can be fun. You know, we don't have to be witches. And we can acknowledge that there are people out there who are Wiccans who call themselves witches and they do things. I've told the kids they worship the devil. They do bad things. But we don't have to associate with that just because we enjoy Halloween. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I feel like I've been naive to a lot of it. Witchcraft and all that stuff is about Halloween, but I just haven't thought about it that much until we decided to do this. And then I like listened to the history of Halloween and I didn't find too much of that actually in researching it. But I don't know if it is that naive or is that just dumb or is that just not letting myself go there to like, I just don't think about it that way. You know,
I don't think so. I think what we all discovered in our research is that Halloween is cultural.
Yes.
I always thought Halloween was satanic in origins. Well,
same
it's
here.
Not. It certainly almost everything has pagan origins because our entire world has pagan origins other than Israel.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, other than God's chosen people, it's all pagan. So it has pagan origins with Samhain and stuff like that. But also, it has evolved with cultures. And so even what we celebrate like in America is different than what they celebrate in the UK or in other parts of the world. I think in America, we have a much more, it's like some combo of the original Samhain, like some of the fun
celebration
stuff.
Celebration of the dark days.
Plus, right. And like, and fall. But then we have the Day of the Dead stuff coming from South America. So it's very different here than even other places.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And more, I feel like Day of the Dead is like becoming part of our Halloween
tradition.
Especially
with like Encanto and everything coming out.
And just like more.
Or not Encanto. Yeah, that one. Is that the one?
Coco.
You know.
It's Coco.
I'm sorry, guys. My kids are a little bit older, so I'm like starting to get out of that.
My kids were afraid of Encanto, so that was not one for me. But but so I think it's cultural. But like even to me, what strikes me is not just with Halloween, but in general. Like, for instance, my husband, Chad, is really into pinball. So he, like, goes all over the state and all over the country looking for pinball tournaments and stuff like that. And
I love it.
Yeah, he collects pinballs in our basement. It's great. He loves it. But he went with a friend last month to Richmond. We live pretty close to Richmond, Virginia. So he went down there. And in the middle of a pinball tournament, realized that this was being run by Satanists.
Oh.
Literally. Like, this place was being run, like, the back of their shirts said something about, or some girl was wearing a shirt that said, teach your children to love Satan. They went to the bathroom. There was like an upside down cross flag. Like, this is not just like, it was legitimately, it's a cult of Satanists or Wiccans or whatever.
Okay, that's our line.
Yeah, so I think what we just, for me, Halloween is this constant reminder every year. Like, even though I freaking love it and I'm gonna do all the fun stuff and we all like a little bit of like the spooky, mysterious, dark stuff, and that's maybe not of God. I don't know. It's fun. There's people who love Satan, who are worshiping Satan just down the street. That's real. That's happening. And so just like having a culture of being different in our family about it, that for me, that was what matters. I don't know.
No, that makes sense.
I like that. I mean, I don't think Jesus wants us to remove ourselves from the world. So it always struck me as weird as a small child, as a young adult trying to figure out what I wanted my kids to do. Christians that would close their doors and turn off all their lights and were very much like, we hate this.
Yeah.
That feels hateful. It does. I just don't think that is what Jesus would do. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to Ali B. Stuckey's podcast on it. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us did.
Yes.
And it was so interesting to me because she put like three different perspectives to have. And I feel like there's like way more than three to have. Mm. But something that she said that struck me was like, just don't be ambivalent. Mm. And that challenged me because I think I have been a little bit ambivalent. So in these areas, I think I am going to dig a little bit deeper and like, okay, what does God actually say? What does the word actually say? Like, is this actually wrong? What part of it is wrong? Because I don't want to be involved in anything that's bad. But as I've been doing the history on it, it really seems to me like the church has propagated most of
the weirdest stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, like the cakes, the soul cakes. Are we talking about soul cakes?
Let's talk about soul cakes.
like one of the beginning things about trick-or-treating was, I can't remember what that day was called, but it was like a day where they would pour milk and make soul cakes for the dead, or they would give it to somebody so they would pray to get them out of purgatory.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of belief that getting the trick-or-treating started there, where you're praying, you're getting treats, or you're giving treats so that you can pray people out of purgatory.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah. Yeah, so I guess if my understanding's right, so Samhain's like the pagan tradition, it's Celtic. There was like all kinds of, I mean, over hundreds of years it morphed and was all these different things. There's not a lot of evidence that there was strong sense of sacrifice. Maybe some people were doing that in weird outlying places, but like for the most part, it was just like debaucherous fun, which, you know, is not of God either, but it's fine. So then when the Catholics combined All Saints with All Saints Day with All Hallows Eve, they like pushed them together. It happened to land right around the same time as Halloween. And so that's when like the weirdest Catholic bizarro non-biblical traditions really solidified, and they were doing weird stuff.
The milk and cakes, that's what I wrote down. That was like super weird.
any tradition that's like around, you know, let's pray people out of purgatory is, and any rituals you might go about, and then there were rituals and there was like passing of money and weird stuff. So that is always interesting when you see how the Catholic Church
has pretty much shaped like everything. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Christmas, Halloween, Valentine's Day, all of it. All of it. Sure. So now I'm like, no, we are celebrating. You know, like the church did it. The church.
That's true. The church did do it. And I mean, I don't know, like, at least for me personally, I'm not trying to like change what, like the world, like where it is right now is what it is. Like, I'm not trying to change our culture. But like what Nikki's saying, just try to figure out where we are in this culture, like what works best for us. And I also want to say, I feel like we just want to put this out there. We don't judge people. Like different thoughts and opinions.
I had the verse about that when we were talking about it. It's like, it, you know, to one, let me find it real quick. Like to one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat the other with contempt, and so on and so forth. And that's in Romans 14. So, you know, we just love each other. We love on other people. We try to approach things with curiosity and not judgment. So,
yeah, and introspection. I think preparing for this particular podcast was an opportunity for introspection, like self-learning.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do that a lot. I mean, we're three women who all come different backgrounds, we all have landed in very similar values and morals mm-hmm. and understanding of the Bible. But even so, in that, we all have made different decisions about priorities and, like, you know, a number of things, right? And that's so cool to me.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. It's such a, like, evidence of God's diversity and his grace and, like, his the freedom we have within New Testament living to just, like, be who God's asked us to be. Isn't that cool?
Yes. And to steal a word from culture, we're fluid in the sense that we're not, like, set on stone on anything. I feel like when you're like, no, this is something that we have to stick to and we're never celebrating Halloween or we're only celebrating Halloween, it really stops the Holy Spirit from being able to speak to you. Yeah. Like, you know, we're fluid in the sense that, okay, Lord, is this still right? Is this right in this season? Should I keep doing it? And I don't know. I think our hearts are always Christ-minded.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to land.
And I keep being impressed upon that in my heart. Like, I hope that we're always growing and always learning, you know, like, not just in Halloween, but just in general. None of us can claim perfection. So we're always trying to learn a little more, dig a little deeper, get a little better. So pulling it back to Halloween a little bit, I also like to just say, I really love as a Christian that we all have different, like, convictions. So I think it was Allie that the podcast we listened to, she talked about, should we be celebrating something that's fear-based? And, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Totally agree. Like, if Halloween is a very fear-based thing for you, like, that might not be for you. But for me personally, and I have talked about this a few times, I have always loved weird, creepy things, and I am a weird, creepy person. Like, I'm okay with
it. Love you.
But I know I'm not the only one. My oldest son, when he was, like, barely old enough to walk, wanted to, like, look at skeletons. He would ask me to go into haunted houses, and I was like, oh, baby, no, you're way too young for that. I do think as a mature adult, I can see that my kids should be of a certain age, like maybe high school, maybe middle school, high school age to do that sort of thing. But there was just this natural curiosity. Like, a lot of kids are scared, right? Mm. And I always tell my kids, now that they're older, I have teenagers, I don't want to scare the neighborhood kids. That should not be our intent in Halloween. Like, we want to have fun and love on the neighborhood. We don't want to scare the little children. But not all of us are created the same. So what scares you does not scare me. Mm-hmm. I love scary movies, which I recognize as weird, but they don't actually scare me.
So that's so interesting, because you know that I am deathly afraid, but, like, I enjoy a little bit of it. So talk to me then, guys. I'm like, is that wrong? But that's where I, all of a sudden, as I listened to the podcast, I was like, oh, wait, is it wrong that I'm doing this now? And that's where I'm trying to be like, okay, Lord, sharpen me. Should I be avoiding this? But it's not a fear that lingers forever. It's more of like a roller coaster type fear where, like, you get that endorphin, you get that little bit of a, what's it called?
Thrill.
Yeah, the thrill.
I don't know if Amy has a different opinion. My opinion is I don't think that's wrong. And here's why. I have a mom who is deathly afraid of a lot of things. And I can remember at a very young age, her telling me she had a strong conviction. She would not watch anything rated R. And she's had a lot of strong convictions about a lot of things. And when I was younger, that would really irritate me. And as an adult, I can see that, like, I can respect her, that those are her boundaries and those are her convictions. And that's not a bad thing. But that being said, if she were to watch scary movies, she would have nightmares for weeks. Like, it would dwell in her heart and in her mind. So
that makes sense. That's a good, thermostat kind of. Yeah. Like, is this impacting your life? Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really helpful.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm honest with myself, I think there's two parts of it. There's, like, and so my husband's super into spooky stuff. I have twin girls, both of whom, especially one, are super, they're just like Candace, you described with yours, like, just naturally drawn to skeletons and all this stuff. Not to mention, we love it. And so, like, they have learned through the culture in our home, like, this is fun and doesn't have to be scary. So my theory about that is that, like, there's two parts. One part is just the mystery of God. We are naturally drawn, I think, to seek truth and to understand. And so there's something about mystery that is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But if I'm honest with myself, there's another element to it that's almost akin to that feeling of, like, when you're, like, let's say you're, like, getting really hot and heavy with your not spouse.
Okay.
Right. And there's that thrill. And then when you get married, you're like, how do we find that spark again?
Back?
Yeah. And to me, internally, the feelings are very similar of like me really trying not to have premarital sex with my husband has a twinge of the same feeling of like, this is a little bit wrong, but it's fun and mysterious. And there's something dark, there's darkness in there that I'm drawn to that's maybe not of God. That's the part of me that always pulls me back a little bit. From
I'm so
like,
naive.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's true for everyone, but I think for me, there, and I have to cross like vampires. I love vampires.
Me too.
Twilight.
And there's a part of it that's very sexual, kind of. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and like,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
not.
That's how they lure their victims.
Right. Yeah. And I think, so I think there's part of, like, there is a small part of me that feels that and recognizes that's not something, that's not a feeling from God.
From God.
And it's not glorifying. And so I have to be careful, I guess.
Yeah, that's good.
So that would be my answer to your question.
No,
about.
That is so good. It kind of stems from a heart motive is what I hear you saying.
Yeah,
I would say. Like if you're seeking it as like a naughty thing, maybe not so good.
Yeah.
But I think I'm like just so naive. And we were talking about this earlier, like as people introduce ideas like, oh, Halloween is evil. Then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never really thought on the evil aspects. It's always just been a fun night where we get to hang out with friends, you know, go get candy, have a party. And then so like now I'm wondering, and I guess if God leads me to not do it, I won't. But I'm like, wait a second. Is it wrong? Is it wrong because people are telling me? I struggle with that a lot, though. Like with people in general, saying,
like peer pressure.
Yeah,
and that's hard. I think as a Christian too, knowing for most of my life, I thought liking spooky things was wrong, and I thought I was like there was something wrong with me. And then as an adult, having other friends who also liked it, I'm like, oh, so I'm not like a bad person.
Yeah, you're not full of spirits.
You know, that's super interesting. So we recently had someone come to our church and do, like, she's in her 70s. She's been in the ministry for decades. And she came and did this small women's leadership talk. And she was talking about the desires, things that are naturally desires within us.
Yeah.
And how you have to pay attention to those. Because a lot of times those are either God's calling on your life or they're God's, like, if you're in the grocery store and you see someone and you think, man, they need to be prayed for. That's actually, if you desire to do that, that's actually a little something from the Holy Spirit. And so I do think there's something to that too, Candace, with you. And even like I see my little one Mal, like these are things that are inherent and they're not impressed upon by culture. It's not like culture told you this was cool and so therefore you're interested in it. And so that's cool too. This is part of how you were made. And to me that just makes sense.
Ooh, I just had a thought too. And I think too, since we were raised maybe post, you know, that really fundamentalist type Christian Halloween, we were really raised to believe that Christ conquered death.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think I thought of death as a scary thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like the worldly perspective of like Halloween is bad. The spirits are going to be gone forever. This is why we dream up of ghosts because they're going to come visit us. It's more like we're not afraid of death. Jesus conquered death. Yeah. We get to go to heaven party forever.
Yes.
So it's just not really that scary. Yeah. I don't know. Just that was a totally random aside thought.
Yeah,
that's probably super derailing us. Yeah,
super
amen. Right?
Me. Yeah,
that's good.
It's just not scary.
Something new that's happening for me this year because we're in a new neighborhood and the house that we specifically have was given to us by God and He was like, "You're going to go minister this neighborhood." So we've been here about a year and a half, and last Halloween we were out of town. So this is our first Halloween to be in the neighborhood. And I am so excited about taking the girls, like you said, about closing your door. Or I have the opportunity to walk my children from door to door and meet neighbors whose doors have never been opened to me yet.
Yeah.
And like what I'm psyched. But really, I'm prayerful even about the night because we've met a lot of our neighbors, but there's also been a lot of doors. People are never out there, you know, like, what am I going to do? Just like knock on their door and be like, I'm new.
Yeah.
Love me.
I love that. Candy does that too. Like she always resisted the urge to do a trunk or treat, which there's nothing wrong with a trunk or treat, like great community thing. But I love what you had to say. You're just like, I mean, that's just all Christians in a parking lot. What you're saying is let's just go out and be, you know, let them see you, let them meet you. And then in the future, you're going to be able to speak life into them.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, oh, by the way, I believe this and let me pray for you.
Yeah.
When you might never have been able to.
Right, exactly. And what Amy said is good, being called to the neighborhood, like where we live, like this is our community. So it's good. Like in such a fun, easy way to love people. In our old neighborhood, this is just food for thought. A lot of the neighbors would do, what's it called? Where you get people together, like a potluck, but what am I trying to say?
A block party?
Block party. So again, such a fun way. Just get some of the neighbors to be like, hey, we're going to set hot dogs out right before the kids go trick-or-treating. If anybody wants to come by and like grab, I don't know. It's just, there's just so many ways to like love
people. Connect with people. Yeah.
No, have you guys seen the boo where you can boo a house?
No.
Okay. So someone did this in my last neighborhood. So I'm going to start it in this neighborhood. But this is another great thing, right? Like at Christmas, we teach our kids to give stuff away and build boxes or whatever. Yeah. Well, when you boo someone, they even have them at Target now, even though we all think Target's the devil, but actually go there anyway. It's fine. It's like basically a bag and it says you've been booed and there's a little instruction card. So you put it in there and you put treats and whatever you want in it, and it basically says like, here's the extra bag, boo someone else. And so the idea is that you can boo each other and you keep it going. But there's like other opportunities like that, and even Ally B. Stuckey was talking about things her mom used to do, which she were so nerdy, but I loved them.
I know. I don't think I would ever do them, but I was like, oh, you're so precious.
Yes.
Her like the verses.
Yeah, she'd attach verses to baggies and put out tombstones that said stuff like,
I love
dry bones shake or whatever.
We grew up so much like that. There's some things that give me a little bit of a cringe. So yes. I'm going to be praying about, okay, how can we insert Christ without love Ally. I'm sure her mom is delightful. Yes. I just was like, I don't think I can do that. But I am going to be praying about how can we insert
I remember
Christ.
Taking the kids trick-or-treating and people handing out tracts. Like that feels like too much. I don't know.
The tracts. Yes. Oh my gosh. That feels like too much to me too. Because it's not organic. I think what we're looking for is authentic community. And then I think in context of community, that's where actually telling people about Christ. And that's where they actually see the transformation.
I agree. Don, he used to always preach from the pulpit. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, which I think is the heart of Jesus. Like you can't just go out saying scripture. I mean, you can. And if Jesus tells you to do
it. Each his own.
I do really believe that community is how we really love and we show people Christ's love so clearly and so well. That's the way.
This is the way. I love it.
Yes.
So is it wrong? So is celebrating it wrong?
I guess that's up to you to decide.
It's up to you to decide.
I think it's got to be, some things are so clear, right?
I agree.
Some things in the Bible are so clear. This is a sin. But I think there's so much, especially culturally, that we have to pray and discern in our own hearts and spirits and
not judge each other.
Because Nikki said, God's going to convict some people one way and other people the other way. And let's not judge each other. Let's love each other.
Now, if somebody's making a child sacrifice on Holy Night, maybe
Definitely a sin. Yeah.
I worked in higher ed for a while and there was a girl that was she was the head of basically student outreach or whatever for the school, right? But she was a Christian, but she wasn't on the campus as a Christian, right? Or she wasn't part of a ministry on campus, is what I'm trying to say. But she was a Christian, and every Halloween she would basically go into depression because she said it was the night that her students would go out and make the worst decisions and trash their life. And that was the first time, I think, as an adult that I was like, huh. You know, this night for some people is devastating for themselves or for the people they care about because it is so debaucherous, especially on college campuses.
Yeah, let's not be flippant and naive to what might be actually happening.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, I just happen to know a bunch of students I care about are going to go, have wild orgies and do whatever the heck they want and take acid for the first time and whatever. I respect that too. If that's your feeling about Halloween, is you want to shut the door and just hope it goes away and keep your phone on all night waiting for a student to call you. I respect that too. Even though I think it's a fun night for a family.
I agree. And I will say similarly, we had an old friend and I don't really keep in close touch with him anymore, but he had background in the occult. Mm. So for him, Halloween was very, I would say, triggering. He was very, very against it. And I totally get that. Respect that. Don't want to push it on him at all. So I think,
there's space for that.
Yeah. I think there's gotta be space for that for sure.
Yeah.
It's anything else like that, right? Alcohol or
I just never even thought again. I mean, in our research, I have been reading that it is turning into more of an adult thing. The History Channel said that 60 years ago when our parents were little, it was a very big thing to dress up the kids and go out and get candy. But now adults want to, you know, put on costumes and maybe be, like you said, a little naughty, a little sexy one night or a little, you know, you put on a mask and you don't have to be who you are. Mm. So I guess I didn't think about what that means, you know, going into debauchery or, I don't know, affairs or any of that. So again, a lot of things that are good can turn bad. And I think that's true of a lot of things, right? Yeah.
I would also just argue, just to be the devil's advocate, just that people who want to find trouble, they
are going to.
They will find trouble. Mm-hmm. And like, I would argue you could do that with any holiday. I do like what, Nikki, what you said about the masks that might give people freedom to do extra naughty things because they're not, they feel hidden kind of in a way. But I feel like every single holiday I can think of, you could definitely find a reason to be debauched. You know, like holidays give us reasons to let loose and have maybe more fun. But right, if you're looking for debauchery and
which might be another topic. Well, just like why are we wanting to let loose on all these occasions? That's just a thought.
Ooh, that would be a good topic.
Yeah.
We should table that. Someone write that down.
Yeah, table that. Tabling it.
Well, I think too, something I've noticed overall, and I was thinking about this even before we started talking about doing this as a topic, that because our generation fell in love with Halloween for whatever reason, and we've grown up with it, right? Like we've made Halloween grow up with us because we still want to celebrate. I actually think there is a connection between America's obsession with Halloween and all the other things happening in our culture.
Oh, absolutely.
They're all connected. Yeah. You know what I mean? Overall, we are much more accepting of new age pagan ideas.
Yeah.
We're overall, our culture shifting away from good Christ-centered institutions.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to take note of. A good example of that is every time I go into Spirit Halloween, and if you guys did this, no judgment, but I see young moms with their itty-bitty babies and toddlers in Spirit. And we all know Spirit is nasty. I get excited when they pop up, you know, and I'm like, Chad, we gotta go to Spirit. Yeah. You know, it's open. But there's a lot of nasty stuff in there. There's nasty sexual stuff.
Yeah.
There's very evil.
Well, there's scary stuff. They put the animatronics they want you
like
to buy.
Yeah.
So they jump out at you.
Yeah. And I see every year, every time I go, I will see at least one very small child and a parent who is not thinking at all about what they're doing to their child. And that's just, to me, is just like, it's a kind of a symptom of like the deeper issue
of what's happening.
Yeah.
I agree. And I will say, we didn't talk about that. Like, what is our line? I would say my line is the demonic. We don't do demons. We don't do devils. Yeah. We don't, you know, I don't even watch those kind of scary movies. You know, nothing with like, what's it called when you're, possession.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's, we definitely have a line. We're saying we love Halloween, but we're not saying
yay. Yeah. And I'm kind of like your mom, Candace. In our house, my line's witches. I don't decorate with witches and the girls can't dress up as them. But we're all gray, right? Because I love the Sanderson sisters. It's literally on the cover of our podcast art. You know?
So I was going to say, I can't say that I don't love witches, but not real witches, the pretend kind, because I am a huge Harry Potter fan.
Huge, me too.
And I am not going to say I've never dressed up as a witch, but not like a creepy, I'm going to eat you witch, just like, I don't know, pointy hat. Like, I totally see what you're saying. And again, I respect that we all have different feelings. I'm with Nikki. I really don't feel good about bringing in the demonic possession, that sort of stuff. And my kids know every year, like, I don't want you wearing something super scary. Like, mostly because I don't want you scaring little children. I hate the idea of bringing little kids into Spirit. I mean, no judgment. I just, for me myself, I never wanted to scare my little kids. Granted, when my oldest was little, he really wanted those things. But my other two not like that at all. Like, Sayla's 13 and she still hates scary things.
Yeah. It's weird because like I just got into like a heated debate with one of my girlfriends about witches, and she was saying that I was opening up my family to demons, and she's a little bit more, that's her belief. So I think we ended after a very heated exchange on, you know, like, okay, we agreed to disagree. But I was saying it is a what's it called? Harry Potter. It's fiction, right? Yes. So I was arguing, well, what's the difference? You let your kids read Narnia and there are witches. But, I just answered my own question. When we said the Sanderson sisters in the second Hocus Pocus, the good guys all of a sudden were able to have witches. So I don't know. See, my thought process is evolving constantly.
Right. Well, and see, that's honestly, that's what my mom would say growing up. She didn't mind when the witches were portrayed as evil. She didn't like when they were portrayed as good. But again, like, I will say it. Harry Potter's one of my favorite books.
Me too.
I'm an adult. I love Harry Potter. And I think I try to always make it clear to my kids, like, these are not real witches. Yeah. Like, the real Wiccan witch stuff is not what we're reading about or seeing in these fun, cartoony kid stories.
Yeah, they're not sacrificing a body and pouring the blood on a pagan demon circle.
No.
Yeah. So, but look, I just, again, I'm fluid and like, okay, totally. Lord, if you're speaking to me, I will change my mind.
And don't we have the opportunity to listen and be convicted? Like,
yes.
You have, so for instance, I was arguing with Chad on Hocus Pocus 2. He's like, I did not like how she was a witch in the end. I'm like, I had the same feelings. Mm. But then I thought about Halloween Town, okay? About a little girl witch. Those are totally harmless movies. The girls even have seen them and they're very young.
Yeah.
And so,
do you just talk to your girls about, hey, this is pretend? That's what we did.
And this year, this is the first time that they were old enough to be like, I want to be this. And they both said, I want to be witches. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Because, and even like Disney stuff, like there's,
they're cute and fun. Minnie, I mean, the fake and pretend ones are.
And I know a lot of our listeners might boycott Disney, and that's okay too.
Yeah. And I respect that and feel like I probably should too. But anyway.
Yeah. Conviction, we'll get there or not.
Yeah, basically. If it weren't for Bluey, I wouldn't have Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But, you know, like it's an opportunity for sure to be like, you know, witches are actually real. And in real life, none of them are good.
Yeah.
And that's why we're not going to dress up as a witch. But the fact that my husband was like, that's kind of weird. That she was a witch in Hocus Pocus 2. And my heart check about it was like, well, it's just like Halloween. I don't know.
I had the same thought, though.
We have the opportunity to
think about it.
To feel the vibe or the heart of what we're watching and decide, does this check some kind of I feel icky box? Or like, I don't know.
Well, and I think surrounding ourselves with good friends and family who can challenge us in a healthy, not judgmental way, but like just bring in other opinions. Like you said, Amy, we're very similar, but we're also so very different.
Very different.
So we can say like, hey, I heard this and it made me feel this way. What do you guys think? And just bounce those ideas around.
Yeah. And know that just because one of us might decide for ourselves, okay, I really do feel like a check. As we're talking, I've had a couple checks that I'm going to go pray about. Mm. It doesn't mean that you guys are going to be like, doom on you.
No.
Like you're X out.
Yeah.
Because God's convicting you in a different way.
Yeah. We don't do cancel culture.
No one's canceled. So I guess we're landing on Halloween is okay? ?
Okay.
?
You should talk to Jesus about that.
Yeah. Don't take it from us.
No. We're not leading anyone either way. I think, yes, I would say conviction. Pray about it and see. And even do your research. We did a lot of research before this podcast to just see the different sides. I listened to super holier-than-thou preachers preaching about it,
which was
really triggering for me. And then, like, people that aren't Christian at all talking about the origins. And I think it's good to get a rounded view. And then, search the scripture and see what you feel.
Yeah, and like what John 4:16 says, test the spirits, right? Is that word or that one? And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And so, take what we're saying or don't. But whatever you do pick up, ask God for yourself.
Yes.
Ren Collective, they have a podcast called Where's the Joy in That? And it's just a couple of the leaders. They're Irish, so it's fun to listen to.
Irish.
They don't prepare at all. So right now they're doing a series through the Bible, but they're not preparing at all. So they have facts.
It's like me.
Wrong.
You
it's
guys are
hilarious.
Prepared and I'm not. So this is perfect. I should listen.
It's so funny, but they came up with this saying, you're probably right. And so like, they'll be in the middle of talking about this. They'll be like, was it? What? For instance, in Exodus, they're like, the midwives, they were Egyptians. No, they were Israelites. No, they were definitely Egyptians. And I'm like, they were not Egyptians. But they're like, whatever you audience are thinking, you're probably
right. Oh my gosh, I love it.
And that applies
to
you.
So funny. Well, yes, we definitely, I mean, you did research too, Nikki. We all did research, but we're not like scripting this. We're just.
You're so sweet. I feel better now. I watched a couple things and I was just very like, I'm ambivalent, which now I realized or maybe, you know, that's what Ellie said. Don't, whatever you do, don't be ambivalent. So now I'm like challenged. Like, I didn't really care. Now I'm like, wait, should I care?
Have a thought. Pick a side.
Yeah. Well, part of it is that because I don't like to argue.
Yeah.
Like, and more maybe just with unhealthy people. Like, there's a lot of people who don't let you have an opinion. So arguing feels like you're wrong and you're bad. And so maybe my ambivalence comes from an unhealthy place myself, where I'm just like, I don't want to know what you think because I don't want to fight with you about what you think. And I don't want you to fight with me about what I think.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to be a little bit brave. I'm going to dig into what I believe.
Yeah, and that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
I love it. So next time we're going to be talking about dun, 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 porn.
We're jumping into the big waters.
Yeah.
Deep waters.
Because let's do this thing.
Let's do it. It's something current.
Yeah. We're obviously really excited about researching porn. Not. But it's
fine.
You
felt us get tense. I felt tense.
We have opinions.
Yes.
And so we're going to share them. All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you. So glad you tuned in and hope you come back.
Catch you next time.
Bye.